This is the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to John, the 17th chapter. Jesus prayed, I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. And they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I come from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours. Yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so they may be as one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name so that you have given me. I guarded them. Not one of them was lost, except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you. And I speak these things in the world, so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them in your word. And the world has hated them, because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am asking you not to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. This is the gospel of our Lord. So I am typically not a fan of bringing secular holidays into our Christian worship, but today is Mother's Day, and this is a reading about prayer. So I will share a story about mothers and prayer. It's some years ago now. My oldest daughter has now graduated college, moved out of the house, and is off pursuing her own endeavors. This is when she was about to graduate from Holy Trinity Catholic Middle School. My wife, my other child, and I arrived about 10 minutes early for what I knew darn well was going to be an objectively miserable presentation for anyone who didn't have a child involved. I, however, did have a daughter graduating eighth grade, so I was excited for her. It was the same reason my parents were supposed to be driving out. They also had a granddaughter in the presentation, and they were not going to miss it that night, so it was odd that they hadn't arrived as the clock ticked closer and closer to start time. But maybe they had been caught in turnpike traffic for some event in a nearby town, or maybe they thought we were supposed to meet at the house and not at the church and had miscommunicated. I stepped outside, I called my mother, expecting to straighten something out and promise that we would save them a seat. The second she answered, I knew that wasn't the case. Before she even told me what happened, the tone in her voice let me know something was catastrophically wrong. She began to explain what was a sum of all fears kind of event for our family at the time, something we had been hoping and praying to avoid for months. I won't share the details of the story, but one of my mother's children, one of my siblings, was hurting in a way that we couldn't fix, and even more difficult was the fact that it was obviously early in the situation and would get worse before it ever got better. I promised my prayers. I hung up, and I walked back into the Catholic Church to watch my daughter graduate the eighth grade. I tried to stay happy for her, but I was in a fog. It was like I was underwater and not even sure if I wanted to come up to the surface. So when the kids made their way to cupcakes and punch after the presentation, I found myself off to the side of the sanctuary in a little alcove that was a shrine to Mary. And I began offering the prayers that I promised. Now, I had been in a Lutheran seminary for about a year up to that point. And I was active in a Lutheran church for a decade or so before that. And we do revere Mary and look to emulate the holiness of her life, but we don't pray to Mary. As venerable as she is not divine. A seminary education had put in my head the 21st article of the Augsburg Confession, which clearly states that we may remember saints like Mary in order to imitate them, but Scripture does not teach calling upon them for help. Christ is our sole mediator and intercessor. That was all in my head. In my heart, my mom was hurting. One of her children was suffering, and there was nothing she could do about it. I couldn't think of anyone who understood that more than the mother Mary, who watched her son pick up a cross and die right in front of her. So seminary education be damned. The prayer that rose from my heart that evening was for my mother's care. God could fix whatever God was going to fix. Jesus could heal whatever Jesus was going to heal. But I prayed for Mary, a mother that understood my mother's pain, to be with my Catholic mother that evening. It was the most honest prayer my heart could say. And it just might be heretical. Not blasphemous, but a heresy. That's the kind of prayer I think about when I read this prayer of Jesus in his final days. He's finished his teaching. He showed them how they should love one another, how they should be a light for the world. He's told them plainly that he was leaving them, but the Father's love would remain. He has said all of this, and now he begins to pray from his heart. This is not the Our Father. No one has asked him to teach them how to pray. He's done with the teaching. This is a prayer rising from the heart of a man who will have to say goodbye to those he loves. I don't pray on behalf of the world, but on these ones you put in my life. That's quite different. I'm saying you need to be the light of the entire world. I mean, don't take them out of the world, but do protect them from the evil one. Far cry from you need to pick up your cross and follow me. All the heady lessons of how his followers should behave in his absence seems to go out the window when he starts praying on their behalf. But maybe that's the lesson we can get here. Maybe when we pray, we don't have to pretend as if our desires are perfectly aligned with God. Maybe the act of praying itself can make us align a little more perfectly with God's will. See, for 2 weeks now, the message has been that Christian love should go beyond our group, neighborhood, or tribe, and Jesus prays specifically for the ones you have given me, which I think we can understand. On that night, years ago, I didn't pray for all mothers. I prayed for my mother, the one I was given. I'm sure there were plenty of people in the world that were in more direct need of God's care that evening, but my heart went out for the ones that I know, because I'm human. So is Jesus. We confess it every Sunday in the Creed. He became truly human. Now, I could lecture you on the difference between exercising our human inclination to love those that we have been given and the equally human inclination to fear the stranger. I could remind you of the past week's messages or of the fact that God's first act of choosing a specific person was to bless Abraham so that he would be a blessing to all of the nations of the world. It would not be wasted time or biblically inaccurate to say that the love of the ones we have been given should always be used to shine a light into the world and never to create distinctions between those worthy of our love and those unworthy of our love. We could all benefit from hearing this, but I don't think heartfelt prayers need to submit to an intellectual lecture. Instead, let's look at the example set right here as Jesus brings his full humanity to the Father in prayer. And because he is the Christ, an example of the godly life, it gives us permission to do the same, boldly approach God in prayer with the full contents of our heart, knowing that we are not giving them to a professor for grading or a mischievous genie that is looking for a loophole in our wish. Give your prayers to a God that you know loves you, and also the ones for whom you are praying. It's been some years now since I graduated seminary and took ordination vows that promise to uphold an understanding of Scripture that confesses that, well, still not blasphemous, the prayer that I made all those years ago may be heretical. But I'm not ashamed of that prayer. See, in those same ordination vows, I promised to proclaim a God whose means of salvation will always come through grace and forgiveness. A God who doesn't hear the heresy of a prayer to Mary, but the pain of a brother praying on behalf of a mother. A God who, through the act of prayer, can open our eyes to our shared humanity with all the children of God. I proclaim to you a God who invites you to prayer for one another with whatever is in your hearts. And since Jesus set aside his teaching and led this prayer by example, maybe we can do the same as we turn to God in prayer. Amen.